On FM, on DAB, and up to date on social media. We are Radio Newark.
Radio Newark.
Radio Newark Sport. Brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants. For all your fencing, decking, and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
And on what could be a momentous day in the history of our country, Radio Newark have run out of bin bags. There you go, you see. It's all a question of priorities. Tonight, Gareth Bagley and friends talk about the official opening of Stage 1 at the Sports Village. Chris Hassel updates us on all things Jaguars, and we look forward to a weekend of sport. Welcome to Thursday's renowned Radio Newark Sport. The big question is, of course, is who's pinched the bin bags? Because they've gone missing. There's a saga of the missing bin bags. Video assistant referees are set to be used in the Premier League next season after the clubs agreed in principle to the move. The Premier League will now make a formal request to the International Football Association Board and to FIFA. VAR, of course, was used in the 2018 World Cup and is in operation already in the Italian and German top divisions, as well as our Carabao Cup. Told you it was coming, and it most definitely is. And for the £5 million for Richard Scudamore that we talked about last night, on the one hand, he's not taking it. But what he is doing is stopping on for 3 years as a consultant. And that's worth £5 million. You can't write it, can you? It gets better, of course, because England's record goal scorer Wayne Rooney will captain the side tonight and wear the number 10 shirt when he makes his farewell international appearance. Of course, he's our greatest ever goal scorer, and he'll win his 120th cap when he comes on as a substitute. Taking the captain's armband from Harry Kane, or the mascot, or the supporter, or the man selling the programmes. Who knows, because we've got to that sort of level, haven't we? And Germany could be relegated and Wales take their place. England could win the whole Nations League or be relegated, as the group stages come to an end in this international break, which finishes on Tuesday. Anything's possible, and only 4 of the 24 group winners, promotion and relegation places have been decided. England could still win their group and reach next year's Nations League finals, or they could finish bottom and go down to Division B. Wales are in promotion and the Euro 2020 playoff contention. Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland are battling relegation, while Scotland, well, they could be promoted or relegated from League C. If they're promoted, they're going to play the might of the Faroe Islands. If they're relegated, well, it's back to the Scilly Isles and the Isle of Wight. But there you go. It's all about finding your standard. Good evening, Mr. Smith. I'm sure you're going to have a rant about one of those subjects, at least.
I'm very disappointed that Wayne Rooney's got the number 10 shirt. I was looking forward to seeing Sir Jeff in it tonight.
You're not a fan of this, are you?
Not at all. Is that coming through? Deary me.
At least it took your mind off the FA and floodlights.
When they knight Wayne Rooney, I'm off.
He is England's greatest ever goal scorer. And he, in his prime, he was one hell of a footballer. I agree with you. It's sentiment, and there should be no room for sentiment in international football. I agree with you. I hate to say it.
If I was in the England lineup tonight, I wouldn't say to my grandchildren, you know, I once played with Wayne Rooney. I would say, I once won an England cap, and it was the night for me was ruined, because it meant nothing. I once joined a circus and played for England. It's rubbish.
VAR, while you're at it?
Rubbish. It's already been proved it's rubbish, and now they want it.
Scotland getting relegated again?
Talking of rubbish.
It's all going well, isn't it?
Hey, so Scotland are only allowed in international football because we've run out of bin bags.
Yeah, we've got no bin bags. Where have all the bin bags gone? Monday night, the great and the good of Newark all congregated at...
And
the
you.
New, and me. At the new Sports Village for the official ribbon cutting and opening and all nice things like that. 24 hours later, we was going to be live as Newark Athletic Club got onto the brand new state-of-the-art running track. Sadly, but not only have the bin bags gone missing, the light bulbs have gone missing.
Sadly, nobody had a 5p.
So we've still got Gareth here tonight, of course, and we're going to talk through what is actually was a momentous occasion. And okay, it's put it all back a week, and we know there was a few lighting problems, but they've all been sorted. It puts it back a week, but hey, what's a week when you waited 50 years? Gareth, welcome back to Radio Newersport. First of all, how elated was you on Monday night, and how disappointed was you on Tuesday night?
When I arrived there and I saw the track, it looked very nice. Couldn't get on it, so I've still not been on the track yet. And I started a conversation with Todd from the YMC that went, you're geared up for us tomorrow night for the club turning up for its first training session. And he looked at me and he said, there may be a problem. People have been working on the lighting all day and they'll be working on it again tomorrow. And we'll probably know by about 5 o'clock whether you can use the facility or not. And I went, I think we'll make a decision now. We won't be coming tomorrow night. So went from elation to a bit of disappointment. But as you said earlier, we've been waiting a long time, so another week won't be too bad.
I mean, the thing is, of course, better he told you on Monday night than get there on Tuesday night to find out. And it is something and nothing. It's some sort of connection or something.
Yeah, it's something to do with the the two systems, marrying the two systems up for the football side of it and the track side. I think the lights have, you know, they have tested the lights, but it's the marrying the two systems together, I understand, that is causing the slight problem.
We'll talk in depth a little bit later on, but you've actually got lines around your running track as well. They've done everything,
that's
really.
That's very much a bonus, because I was telling everybody, in fact I told the Knotts 3As that we'd got a track, everything was okay, but there wouldn't be any lines on it until the spring. But so I was very very surprised when my namesake Gareth Owens told me on Saturday, oh no, there's lines down. So that was a bonus. That's really good.
I am led to believe that you're not allowed in the middle though yet.
No, it's a bit like cricket square, really. We've got to let it settle. It's it'll just churn up, won't it? We don't have any throwing facilities at the moment, so nobody's missing out.
I mean this thing is long term. Why start shouting now? So we're going to talk about that in depth tonight. Then the first person I caught up with at the opening ceremony was the town mayor of Newark, councillor Tony Roberts, and I suggested to him it was a memorable day for Newark Sport.
Oh, absolutely. And when you think, was it just 6 short months ago that the chairman of the district council and I were cutting the first sod to mark the start of this wonderful, wonderful new sports facility? And now look what we've got a running track, we've got two muggers of various descriptions already being used. Yes, there's still a lot to do, but by heavens, haven't we moved far in 6 months? I am absolutely delighted, really am.
I think, like the rest of us, there's probably that sense of it can't be happening in Newark. For so long, we've wanted it.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I was associated in my early days at Magnus with the Newark Athletic Club, and the running track at the Grove then was in pretty poor state, and it's got steadily worse and worse, totally unusable over the last 10 or 15 years. And you think, is it ever going to happen? And it has. And it's not just the running track, it's everything else that's going to come alongside it. We have got a facility that any town in this country would be very, very envious of. And it's been done with a lot of hard work and phenomenal cooperation by so many organisations. It's excellent.
The youngsters, we've always said, are phenomenal in this town at sport. This could take us to a new level.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, again, I harp on about the athletic club, but it is important. You know, they've had to go away to competitions and so on. Now they can compete on their home territory, which obviously always gives a lift. But it's also giving the facilities for people to train in such a variety of sports. Yes, of course it'll give the town a lift. And we want to see international players now coming from Newark, as I'm sure they will.
No pressure then, Gareth. We need internationals from Newark. First of all then, let's start with Tony's Newark Athletic Club history. Was it a bit of a sprint champion in
there was no competition as far as I know. He came along with his two lads and he got involved with doing some pit raking and various things like that and supporting us. And I remember, probably 20 years ago, we were at Nuneaton and we were discussing then, you know, what might Newark get in the future and how would sport progress? Because I think that was another occasion when he was maybe the mayor. You know, he's had several goes at it.
Because we're going to the people I've spoken to. Newark Town Council, first of all, they've supported this from the outset, haven't they?
I
mean, we've all been watching today politics, and if people want to play politics, that's up to him. But Newark Town Council have supported this initiative. They made a decision with the Newark Sports Association, some agree with, some don't agree with, but the decision was made.
Yes.
And with the looks of it now, I think we have to say
that we wouldn't have even been discussing plans and things if Newark if the NSA hadn't have become involved and got started and what have you. But I think I also don't think we would be where we are today if they hadn't have brought in the YMCA. There were some very able people at the NSA, but I'm not sure that they had the pulling power and the clout to bring in funding that's necessary. And I don't think it would have happened in 6 months as it has done.
Because Tony, you've been down there. You've sat on the pitch, the football pitch, and watched the lads train. From that, basically, to go to the back pitch at RHP, which you used to spend many a Sunday morning trying to get into a football pitch, in what, 9 months? Less than 9 months from that to that, it really is, from the builders, an amazing achievement.
I've sat here and said, I'll believe it when I see it.
That's three of us then.
You also called it a fantasy in front of a 7-foot American. That's what was brave.
And also, he was sitting down, in fairness. I misjudged the lad. But basically, I said at the Sports Awards when Becky Gallup was given her award as the leading sports personality of Newark and Sherwood. And I said in front of a councillor, without thinking, Newark AC have had some fantastic achievements given the lack of facilities, and didn't realise she was the woman in charge of Nottinghamshire sports facilities. But yeah, I've got a certain history with the track, but I mean, as you'd say, I spent many Saturday afternoon. By Sunday morning it was too late, but Saturday afternoon basically filling in holes on that pitch. And then to be sitting there on Tuesday night under magnificent floodlights, looking at Newark Flow Surf's entire squad, very good turnout from the reserves as well, playing under the lights while I was sat in a dugout on virtually the same spot that I used to be on my hands and knees, clearing dog book off a massive, massive pitch. It was just, you know, it was gobsmacking.
From the outset of this, it's Newark Athletic Club and Newark Town Football Club that are going to initially be the big the big gain. As even having said that, yeah. RHP are going on there, Flow Server training on there, but it's the Athletic Club and Newark Town that are going to be the big gains at the beginning. And I caught up with Dave Roberts next of Newark Town and ask him what it means for his football club.
Well, it allows us to progress. First of all, it gets us back into the town. That's the main priority. So it's enabled us to get back into the town. It's given us state-of-the-art facilities and facilities that will enable us to move up the leagues if we progress that way.
I've seen them on the pitches already. They play beautifully. The juniors are on there. When are the seniors coming?
Well, the seniors are down training straight away. From the first week, the seniors are training. They're putting on a good two-hour training session, and it's great. Until the water's on, then you can't start playing the matches. So the next sequence of events is that you get the water on, the FA come down and grade it, which will hopefully be a straightforward process, and then we'll then discuss switching our games down here from Collingham. We'll move into town.
And then it is the dream, isn't it? Collingham's been brilliant for Newark Town, and we can't say any other. They've looked after Newark Town, and it's been good while it's been out there. But Newark Town belong in Newark.
They do, and that's the major step forward, is to get the town team playing in the town. But as you say, Collingham have been fantastic for us. And the last thing we do, they're giving us another year. They're growing as a football club. They desperately needed us not to be there, but they gave us another season. So the first thing we want to do is, when we're ready to move, is talk to Collingham, find out. We don't want to leave them in the lurch and find out the right time to move down. But the plan at the moment is we move as soon as it's ready.
And, of course, we look forward to seeing Newark Town play in the town, like they've been saying for a long time. And, Gareth, I think David is pretty much on the same wavelength as you. Let's just take it step by step.
That's right, yeah.
What we're getting is fantastic, but we don't want to rush it.
No, that's right.
So, we spoke to Newark Town, and we spoke to the town mayor of Newark, and there's more interviews to come. It's exciting. If I get them in the right order, do you want to speak? Shall I put that up?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, here we go.
But Dave Roberts was the chief exec at Lincoln City, and I went along and interviewed him once, and he spoke more common sense about football and how to run a football club than anybody that I've spoken to in 40 years in journalism. And Newark Town are very, very lucky to have a guy like that on board.
I mean, he was my boss at Flowserve.
Was he? Yeah. Small world, isn't it? It really is a small world. We'll come a little bit later on, but you know how this is panning out. We're going to be in for an exciting 2019.
Yeah, I mean,
we really are.
It's just quite staggering. And again, I go back to Monday night when you said, imagine being there at the sports hub, and then you think across the way, across Blue Lake, you've got the facilities at Flowserve. It's just all happened at once, and it is just like, it's like waking up on Christmas morning and all the presents you hope for are there in the sort of, you know, pillowcase at the bottom of your bed. It is just magical.
It most certainly is. Right, we're going to have a quick look at what's coming up this weekend next. I'm going to have a look at what happened last weekend, because that's the way I've scripted it.
I've got some breaking news for you as well.
You're leaving?
No.
He's got a new lollipop.
Sadly, not all the presents he wanted, Michael. No, but it's news about the draw for the third round of the County Cup and Newark Flowserve's involvement in it.
Right, we can break that in a couple of minutes.
Okay.
We had some breaking news. Okay. Tell me your breaking, or tell our thousands of listeners your breaking news, Tony. They're going to be they'll be riveted to this one.
They're more riveted than if you're in a Sunderland shipyard with this one. The Notts FA. The clues are in the words. The Notts FA have just alerted Newark Flowserve Football Club an hour ago that we're playing away at Stapleford Town.
Tell the Notts FA to listen to Radio Newark Sport on Tuesday night, because we told them where you was playing.
Yes.
And you're also not playing away to Stapleford Town, because they haven't got floodlights.
Well, we won't be playing at Stapleford Town, apparently, but the Notts FA haven't told us when we will be playing somewhere else.
Whenever they can get a ground. If they can't get one, they can come to Newark. Right, this weekend, Newark Flowserve entertain mid-table Barrow Town. And they actually entertain them twice in 4 days, because they play them in the cup on Tuesday night. Saturday sees the league match, and the Works need 3 points to keep the pressure on Selston and Sherwood, who themselves have contrasting matches. Selston, they've got a gimme. They play Borough Wash. It's just how many goals they can score.
But a much tougher day for Sherwood with a trip to fifth place, Eastwood. This could be the chink. Flowserve have not got to slip up. Gav, you're a Flowserve man.
Yep.
You've worked there all your life.
Absolutely.
You saw the ground. You go back as long as I do. George Lambert days and everything. I mean, George would have loved what's going off now, wouldn't he?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, it would have been great.
He would really be absolutely loving it. The best ever club secretary, bar none, of any club in any sport, Mr. George Lambert, and he never took his trilby off, did he? Never took his trilby off. Brilliant. Wonderful man. Wonderful.
Perhaps he had bin bags over there.
He had exactly. Into the Central Midlands and a home match for Collingham, where Staveley are the visitors to Station Road. And, of course, Staveley have got to come back in the Floodlit Cup as well. So them two's going to get used to each other, aren't they? Nook Tan have the pleasure of a trip to Dinnington Town. And as Paul Hyde will tell you, not his most favourite day out. nearly what he said. the Yorkshire club have slipped to first from bottom, and they're only 4 points in front of the Blues, who've got to be on a high, going to play where they're going to play in a few weeks' time. They've got to be on a high, aren't they? So come on, Newark, go to Dinnington, come back with 3 points. Simple as that. Yeah?
Come back alive.
Well, yeah, okay. so there's reserves, travel to... Close to his reserves, travel to bottom club Snenton Town, who have yet to register a point this season. Lee Julian side, they're very much in the promotion race, and the division's top scorers, like the first team are. 3 points and a hatful of goals, I think, is required on Saturday from the reserves. The youth teams that we're looking at, and we talked to Long Bennington last night, as you know, Long Bennington Gold are going to Chesterfield, Farndon are at Loudoun, and Newark host West Bridgeford. The top three teams in the Division 3 of the Notts Youth League Saturday under-18s are Bennington, Farndon, Newark. Not in that order, it's Bennington, Newark, Farndon. But three local sides all vying at the top of the table. They're brilliant competition.
Yeah.
It really
a lot of travelling, though, by the sounds of it.
Well, Chesterfield, isn't, you know, it's not easy, is it?
Yeah.
RHP Saturday under-15 Colts are looking for their first points of the season. They've only played four matches. They host Pelican Colts on the super-duper all-new Sports Village pitch. 24 hours later, Immingham visit the same pitch to play Gary Atwood's Sunday Colts. And of course, Newark Town Sunday team played their delayed All England FA Cup match against Birstall. Yeah. And that's a home match for Newark Town at the Mears Leisure Centre. I looked into that one because I couldn't understand for 1 minute why. And then you start doing the history, and at the end of it, I felt quite sorry for them. They can't play at Collingham because it's not big enough. And apparently, they can't play at Lowfields because RHP had put down Lowfields as their home ground, and two clubs in that competition can't have the same ground.
Yeah.
Why? They let them Newark Town play a week later for the reasons, obvious the reasons, that those playing that wonderful match last week. Is it a problem? Is it such a problem?
What's the name of the competition?
Which has got the words F and A.
Exactly.
In it, you know. Again, they're making life difficult. Newark Rugby Club was buoyed by their cup success last week. Travelled to Matlock looking for league points. Only problem is, Gareth, as you well know, not many teams come back from Matlock with any points whatsoever.
No.
And then a week later, Newark play league leaders Melbourne. Yes.
Yes.
Southwell this week travel to Melbourne, and of course Southwell having a horrendous season. They're already 10 points adrift at the bottom, so we all look forward to December the 8th when Newark play Southwell. That's what we're all thinking about already. Nobody's bothered about the next 2 weeks.
I shall be in Tilburg in the Netherlands.
Oh, how can you miss that? Shocking. The hockey ladies travel the title favourites Repton, and after shipping 15 goals in their last two matches, it's probably the last place that Paul Halfpenny and the ladies want to go. The men take on Derby at 1 p.m. Well, it was very nice to Derby last night. That was only a 24-hour thing. We're back to
Felt weird.
Yeah.
We'll go back to a normal. It's the Major Oak Open swimming.
Was there no other clubs wanted him?
it shows them all the clubs. That's amazing. The Jaguars are hosting round one of the Junior League in wheelchair netball. And what's going off in the world of athletics this weekend, Gareth?
Nothing. Okay. Our correspondents told you that on Tuesday.
Well, I just knew you found something.
No, I'm going to the British Athletic Supporters Club dinner in Coventry on the Saturday evening. That's where I'm going.
Oh, that's it. Well, that's fair enough, I suppose. You can't knock it. But it's a cracking weekend of sport. And you know, we're still in November. And I think I keep saying this. A massively important match for Flow Save at the top. They've got to win. Collingham's got to win to keep the pressure on Clay Cross. Newark's got to win to get off the bottom of that table. The rugby club have got to win because they're sliding down the table quicker than they've got an Italian captain leading them.
Yeah.
You know, it's ridiculously so important for our clubs, and it's still only November.
Mm. It's just the nature of sport, isn't it? I mean, particularly these days. I mean, gone are the days when you can go, oh, I'll be all right for 4 weeks and see what happens. No, people demand instant success or instant recovery from sticky spells. But I think Flow Serve, if they beat Barrow, it's 8 wins on the bounce, you know, so...
this is how, it can... Newark scraping home in the cup last week at rugby. If they'd have lost that game, it was 7 defeats on the bounce. And just as good as you can get into a winning mode, Gareth. Is that the same in an individual sport? Is the mindset, I won last week, I can win this week?
Yeah.
Or is the mindset, I can't do this?
No, it's very much like that, you know. You look round and you think, beaten you a few times, what have you, and can play the same, can't it, the opposite way, you know.
I remember talking to Joseph Monk's mother at the Retford Mini League, and she was telling me of two names there that they'd already got, that Joseph was going to finish third. Joseph, in his mind, was running for third place. Okay, that's being realistic. There's no problem with being realistic.
No,
but should you be saying, and his mum was saying, no, you're not running for third place because, okay, the guy that we all know is going to win it is very good, but the guy in second place is in your sights.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what he's going for. And, you know.
Well, it was an interesting comment from Chloe Hubbard last week.
I'll come back to Chloe.
Okay.
Because I'll do last week's headlines.
Right.
Just one reminder of what happened last week, and that's the young lady I want to talk to you about next.
Right.
And what a week it was. As Sam Agar hits it's 3 goals, a slow serve win on the road. Collingham let 2 goal lead slip at Scunthorpe, and Newark Rugby Club winning the cup and are in the semi-final, no less. Another poor day for the hockey club as the ladies' ones concede 7. Chloe Hubbard becomes the first ever Newark Athletic Club senior lady to win a North Midlands cross-country event. And I hope that's right now I've said it. Riley Picker was the pick of the bunch as the club's youngsters ran in round 3 of the mini league, and a bronze for Ethan Dakin and a 5th place for Ed Howard in another cracking weekend for the Fernwood Sword Club. And our tennis ladies was in action again, winning in the Winter League to make it 2 victories out of 2, and they, like many other clubs, are looking forward to their debut at the Sports Village.
This is Radio Newark Sport.
And all that did go off last weekend, Gareth, it had to be Chloe Hubbard's weekend. We tried to get her on Tuesday night, but with all things that was going off, I didn't quite manage it.
Yeah.
So you can.
Well, I suppose, obviously, it was close at the finish, but the interesting comment I liked when I spoke to her afterwards was she said there was a guy out on the course shouting at the girl who was running behind, shouting, stick on her heels, and I just thought, she said, I thought to myself, well, you're going to be on my heels right till the finish. She had no intention of going past her.
Isn't it funny sometimes, Tony or Gareth, how what's coming from the sidelines can motivate the wrong person?
Yeah.
And in his case, it motivated Chloe when he was trying to motivate the other one. It's funny sometimes how...
Yeah, I mean, you could see.
Try to wind one up.
You could see what the girl was, what the plan was. She was going to attack within the last 50, 60 metres, but Chloe managed to hold her off. Yeah.
I've never been at a level of sport that's been any good, so I've never had encouragement or disparaging comments made. But I always advise people when they're doing the London Marathon to wear the names on the front and the back of the shirts or the running vest, because when you get to 22 miles and someone shouts, "Go on, mate," it means absolutely nothing, because you're dead to the world at that stage. You've hit several walls by then. And but if someone shouts, "Go on, Tony," it means the world to you, and it puts 3 miles into your legs. It's just so important. But equally, I've been on football touchlines where you've got one idiot supporter or one idiot dad yelling something, and it just, you can see that person's opponent lifted by it. I'll show him.
Absolutely.
It can work miraculously the other way.
The guest of honour on Monday night, going back to the grand opening, which the great and the good, including me, of Newark, was invited to. You wasn't there, Tony.
I couldn't get through the hole in the fence.
all that says is you're bigger than me. The guest of honour was Richard Whitehead, and I'll let Gareth tell us all about Richard Whitehead.
Well, Richard, he's a Paralympian. Originally went... I don't know how... what caused him to have both his legs amputated below the knee. He originally was into road running and such like. And then when the 2012 Olympic or Paralympic schedule was put out, there was no provision for his group to be included in the marathon, so he just decided, well, I'm going to run there. So he went off and found somebody to coach him how to run 200 meters, and I think he's now the world record holder and won the worlds, won the Olympics. So but he still does his road running. I mean, he's got himself from Land's End to John O'Groats, I think, and He's a really nice chap.
So I caught up with him, and this is what Richard had to say.
Yeah, it's a great community setting. I know YMCA for my time working in the States in Connecticut. So I know that when they put a facility together, they put it together with the right reasons and the right core values. And it's for the community to use, which is really important. And I think for me, the sports that obviously they're targeting here, it's really important the community gets that access to have that legacy and empower the well-being aspects of sport.
For everybody's lifetime here in Newark, we've never had facilities to be proud of. You've seen the athletics track. They won't let you go on it yet, though.
Not quite yet, no. I think it's open on Thursday. I think it's really important that everybody and anybody gets the access to the facilities, because, like I say, for me, sports offers me so many opportunities, and it will do Newark. Like you say, you've not had the world-class facilities that you deserve. I'm Nottingham and Nottinghamshire born and bred. I'm proud of where I'm from. And hopefully you'll be able to create and inspire people to have a better and more healthy lifestyle.
And that was Richard Whitehead, and that was Gareth talking in the background that put us all off. You blame the guest, you see. But it was nice of Richard to pop along, but as I say, they wouldn't let him on the track, so you stood no chance.
No, that's right.
Absolutely no chance. He was going nowhere near the track.
No.
I think this track might last a long time because they're keeping everybody off it. I really do. As we said at the start, Gareth, it was disappointing that you wasn't a lad there on the two-street. How are the youngsters... What's their feelings about all this? Because, I mean, you know, this is not for you and for Kate and your group, is it? This is for Amelia, Joseph, Riley, the twins, you know.
Yeah, they're all very excited. I think there was a lot of disappointed people, you know, kids, that they weren't going to be there on Tuesday, but... Yeah, they're all excited. They all want to get there and try it out. Yeah.
When spring comes and you're in the middle,
and you know, you can do hammer and javelin and all things like that. Have you got enough coaches and everything? I mean, is it all ready to go? Or have you, as president, got a lot of hard work to do?
Well, it's very difficult to have coaches when you haven't got the facilities for them to coach the event. So, yeah, we've got some work to do to find people to coach the throws and the jumps, etc. But we'll get there. I've already had a few conversations with some guys over at Grantham with regards to maybe trying to set up a little throws academy, because of course they're not allowed to throw things onto that green thing in the middle of the mirrors because footballers use it, and you don't want to hurt them, do you? So they have a bit of an issue with where they can throw their lumps of metal at the moment.
So that would be handy, wouldn't it? And again, yes. These clubs getting...
Yeah, absolutely.
Getting together. Yeah. For Newark AC, I mean, I would expect... I mean, we spoke to the Grove Squash Club a couple of weeks ago. Paul Drury came in, and Paul's own admission is that they've gone from half a dozen, 10 members, and it was dying, to 50-odd members, a woman's section, a ladies' section, I should say, a junior section. OK, that was on the back of coming in here and broadcasting it on this show, like you're doing now. Yep. But, OK, they did go to the new sports and fitness centre, and they've got two new glass courts, and everything's brilliant. But it was just coming here. You would expect the same sort of input over the next 6 to 9 months at the athletic club,
yeah,
surely.
I would expect a big an increase of membership. I know we always have a bit of a boost when the kids get back to school in the September, and the new ones that have gone up to secondary school, and I think we've had 30 or 40 youngsters come on board since they got back to school. So and I'm expecting more when we start to the new facility,
because it's going to be word of mouth, isn't it? When Riley tells his mate, you know, come on, you can come down here and look what you're running on.
Well, his dad runs the Warriors, doesn't he?
Exactly. So, you know, look at the input you're going to get there.
It's a bit like the film Field of Dreams, isn't it? Build and they will come.
That's right, yeah.
Number four on my hit list on Monday night was David Lloyd, who is the leader of Newark and Sherwood District Council. They've had their input into it as well. Tony, listen to this carefully. I'll ask you questions afterwards, but it's brilliant what he says about Mansfield.
This is absolutely brilliant. As has been said here this evening, it's the first phase of a very exciting project. I'm amazed at the speed these facilities have gone up. So we've now got our athletics and running track. We've got the football provision there, and there's a lot more to come. From the perspective of the council, in terms of how this works for everyone, it isn't just about sport. So it's great that we can bolster our clubs and those that get involved. But the facility with the YMCA, and why they are the partners, is their ethos is to make the best version of everybody that they can make themselves into. And that is what this is about. It's engagement, it's education, it's bringing people in to upskill them in a fun way, so that we can reach out and work with everybody in our community to better everybody's lives.
Fits in perfectly alongside the Sports and Leisure Centre. It's a beautiful complex.
It's fantastic, yeah. You look at all this investment, these new premises here, it fits in, it looks good together, both the car parks operate jointly, you know, people can look across and say, I could be playing that sport. So hopefully it just brings people together in what is clearly now an exciting leisure, sports and education hub for Newark. It's absolutely superb from that respect. Okay, it's next to the cemetery, so I'll not do the cradle to grave joke there, but we've got everything we need here right in the centre. Bollerton can reach it, Farndon Fernwood, couldn't ask for anything more.
I think of a proud day for sport in this town. I think we've just about hit the tops.
I'd say so. We've got to be. You know, I've always said, you know, we've got to get Newark Town back in town, not playing at Collingham. We've got numbers of different clubs now itching to use this facility. So looking at what we've got, you know, people say we're not a small town, we'd never get this level of investment, we're not a Mansfield. No, we're not a Mansfield. We've got better facilities than they have. This is brilliant what we've got, and I'm really just so thrilled for everybody that's been involved.
And there you go, Tony. We're not in Mansfield. We're better than Mansfield. And that's coming from the leader of Newark and Sherwood District Council, and a great friend of this show, of course, as well, is David Lloyd. You know, I have to say, and we've got one more person, and a very special person to talk to before this show's finished. I'm not going to steal any thunder of what he had to say, but I've got to say it. If you look, and I said it on Monday, I'll say it again, the Fitness and Leisure Centre next door to what is going to be an absolutely fantastic sports village.
Yeah.
You've got the rugby club 2 miles that way, and there is no way there is a better facilities of any amateur rugby club in this country. There just isn't. There's a new cricket pitch going on. Anyway, you're going to get told all this later on. And, of course, what's happened at Flowsip. I'm in dream world. Simple as that. It's high time we found out what's going off in the wonderful world of the Jaguars Wheelchair Basketball Club. And, of course, the man to tell us, our very own Chris Hassel. Good evening, Chris.
Yes, good evening, Mick. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks yourself.
Yeah, good, thank you. Very good.
Couple of weeks since we last spoke to you, so...
Yes.
Season's well underway now, so I'm going to sit back like everybody else is while you tell us what's going off.
Yeah, so Jaguars 1 and Jaguars 2 are playing National League Division 1 and 2. They were both promoted last season, so we're now playing in tougher leagues, taller players, better players, and also means that we have to travel a lot further. In the last couple of weeks, we've had two home games. So Jaguars 1, who play in National League Division 1, they had a very close game, 49-46. They lost from a team from Manchester, the Manchester Mavericks. Really, really good team. And at halftime, we were winning, but then in the third quarter, they played really, really well and shot about 6 out of 6 from quite a long distance away. And unfortunately, we weren't able to play catch-up in the last quarter. So the first team have played 5 and unfortunately lost 5. So they've had some close games, but they haven't managed to get off to a winning start yet this season. Therefore, it's pretty tough. And then Jags 2. So Jags 2 have played 5. They've won 1, lost 4. At the weekend, they lost probably to one of the best teams in the league. The score was 72-17, so it was quite a whitewash from a score perspective. The team played an awful lot better than that. But we are up against a very experienced team, very tall team, and therefore it was going to be tough from the offset, and it was. So that's where we've been the last couple of weeks. Just looking forward a little. If anyone is around Newark tomorrow and fancy like coming to see some wheelchair basketball, our juniors kickstart their season tomorrow at the Magnus Sports Centre.
Chris, tomorrow?
Yes, tomorrow.
Friday?
Tomorrow. Oh, no, not tomorrow. I mean Saturday. Gosh.
Carry on.
I mean Saturday. I do mean Saturday. Thank you very much, mate. So, actually, if they turn up at 11 o'clock tomorrow, they'll probably have a PE lesson, I guess. But so on Saturday, yes, absolutely. Our Jaguars juniors, that's our under-18s team, a really good team. The last couple of seasons, they've been quite young, but now quite a lot of them are getting to the sort of 16, 17, even 18 age. So we've got high hopes for them this season, and we've got some really good young players. So they play 11:15, and then I think it's about 1:15, 3:15. There will be lots of wheelchair basketball teams from Norwich and Aylesbury coming to visit. So if you fancy that, come down and have a look. It's totally free to come in and watch. You can just bring a chair, come and sit down and watch some really good wheelchair basketball.
Is what I was pleased to see when you played Glasgow, there was quite a few people sitting around and watching.
Yeah, absolutely. From time to time, we do get more people. You know, I won't say we get the thousands, and I won't even say we get the hundreds. But, you know, sometimes there's not an awful lot of space around the court at the Magnus Sports Centre. And sometimes it's quite good. We've got people, you know, all the way around, which is great.
It was cosy and it was lovely.
Yeah, absolutely. But if anyone wants to come down on Saturday, please come and support our kids. They would love to see you.
Lovely. Chris, thank you so much.
Pleasure.
We'll catch up with you again soon. I won't be there on Saturday, but I'll be there in mind.
That's great. Thanks, Mick.
Okay, Chris. Thanks. Bye-bye. The wonderful Chris Hassel and the equally wonderful Jaguars wheelchair basketball. You may recall that David Lloyd was having a dig about our facilities being better than Mansfield. And, okay, they've had it their way for too long now, so it's gloating time. Gareth, you've got something to tell us.
Yeah, well, the track at Mansfield has been out of bounds to the club for about 5 years, but I've seen this week that the actual park itself is going to be totally closed, so there's going to be a lot of upset dog walkers as well, I think, in Mansfield. This is some issue that the I think it's the miners' pension people, Siswo, that own the park. They wanted to set aside part of it for housing, and the Mansfield Council turned it down. And so, a case of, if you're not playing ball with us, we'll just close the park then. So, we'll wait and see.
They could always come to Newark, can't they, if they wanted to. Okay, the final interview, and I've left this man specifically till last, is Andrew Hardy. And Andy Hardy has been fighting from his position within the council for as long as I can remember.
Yeah.
And he's always been there, putting his bit in and hoping it's going to happen and pushing.
I was going to say, he always was a bit of a hothead.
I ask Andy if he ever thought that he would see this day.
Yeah, if I'm being honest, Mick, it was definitely going to happen. I'm delighted that it's happened sooner than it might have done, given the support of the sporting community that's got behind the project, and that of the funding partners who've come forward so far to invest in the fabulous facilities that we've got available now, which is part of the overall project. So we've got football and we've got athletics going live, which is great news.
You won't take the credit for it, but you've championed this, you've fought for it, you have spent what seems forever pushing and cajoling people. You must be so proud.
I'm so excited. I mean, at the end of the day, Newark is a sporting community. We've got some fantastic clubs. We've got fantastic people in those clubs. This sort of thing happens by partnership. This is people working together, and it's the art of the possible. And we've had some clubs that have had to put up with not the best of facilities over the last few years or so. We're putting that right now, and there's more to come. And I I'm delighted. I just want this to be a huge success for this community now, and give the football community, the athletics community, and every other sports club what they richly deserve.
I have to pinch myself. We're standing in front of the brand new athletic tracks. We've got the muggers over there, the brand new sports and fitness centre, all that's going off half a mile down the road at Flowserve. What a couple of years.
I think it's been the most exciting period of, in terms of recent sporting history for the town. I mean, I'll mention the cricket club, a new second wicket at Newark Cricket Club, and we're working on their changing room pavilion phase two. The rugby club, another huge success story. Fantastic effort by the club, supported by the local community, both sporting and local authority, Newark Town in particular, investing in that project, the county council supporting. The leisure centre is an amazing facility for the community of Newark, and this was the aspiration. The dream was to reproduce what we'd relied on for so many years, for decades, the Grove Centre, its indoor and its outdoor offer. We are now piecing together the offer for the town, and it's looking particularly exciting.
Finally, Andrew, on behalf of all the sports fans in Newark, thank you so much for your efforts. This is mainly thanks to the efforts of Andy Hardy.
I've cut what his reply was to that one, because he was being too modest, but I'll go back to where I started, Gareth. If you take this back 20, 25 years, it was Andy Hardy that was saying, one day, let's work on it, let's work together, let's see what we can do. And I think everybody at some stage has not believed him.
Well, I don't think the three of us in this room have not believed it was going to happen. So, we've all been a bit cynical about it. I'm really pleased that it has happened. And we just move it on. Let's hope we get some funding in place for the cycle track, some funding in place to upgrade the hockey pitches at the Magnus, because these are all magnificent clubs that the town's got, and we just need to support everyone in the sporting world.
And as Tony's pointed out on more than one occasion, if we give them the facilities, you watch them go.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm still pleased to see that despite all these wonderful facilities, it's still proper Newark at heart. We've still got muggers.
Exactly. You can't take the lad out of Newark. Where do we go now then, Gareth? What do you do? What's your agenda at the athletic club?
We've got to encourage...
You can't just sit back now.
No. We've just got to keep moving ourselves forward. We've got to encourage more parents to to take that step into doing some coaching. Most coaches, that's the way they've got into it, and just keep the people interested and to keep coming along. We're designated to have the first of the league fixtures in May, so I won't be taking it down there. But next Tuesday, I've got the secretary of the Nottinghamshire Schools Athletic Association coming along to talk to the YMC with a view to holding the Nottinghamshire Schools Championships in June at Newark, and we'll probably put a mini league fixture on. That's at the beginning of June, and a mini league fixture on at the end of June. So yeah, it'll be great to have competition back in Newark.
Fantastic reporting, reporting on an athletics competition.
Yeah.
Stage two is going to be the pavilion and changing facility, isn't it? The building's going up, and apparently starting that one in spring, I think they tell me.
That's due to come online 2020, isn't it? The dance studios, the creche facilities, the climbing wall,
I suppose is the Americanism in it, isn't it?
Yeah,
but it's not a bad thing, is it?
Oh no, because they need to get to the people that are going into their classes. They need to encourage them out to run on the track during the day and things like that. So there's a great advantage in having them on board, because they're bringing other people into the facility.
And the final word for the man that wrote for 25 years in the local paper about it and didn't think for 1 minute he would see it and actually called it a fantasy.
It was a fantasy to think we could have something like we've got, but it's now just a wonderful reality. It's remarkable, and I'll go back to what I said before. Newark AC have produced so many quality individuals while training basically with the facilities that they had. Imagine how many superstars we're going to have in the very near future now that we've got superstar facilities.
It's going to make our life easier, isn't it? We're going to report to them. I don't know. Will it, mate? Us two says it's going to make a fantastic difference, and we're expecting Olympians in no time, but will it make Riley Picker and Joseph Monk and Amelia Crispin better athletes?
Oh, to make them better athletes, yeah. Olympics is a tough one, but, Olivia Mathias don't seem to be doing too bad, she started with us, so...
But it's going to make them better athletes, so in turn it should make Newark Town's footballers... better footballers.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
So, and then we get the cyclists up there and the tennis players up there. Never know. Bolton Lake with canoes and yachts on it.
Well, I think they're winning the...
I've got a yachting story, but it's not for this show. It's not for this show.
I think they're winning the parish council over with regards to using the lake, so, yeah.
Well, we've overcome bigger hurdles, so, we'll try that one. I don't think I'm going to ask Tony a question now, because he's laughing too much.
So that's because another story.
and that's it for another week, Connie. Long Bennington come and told us all about their club. Libby Johnson, brilliant night on Tuesday night. One of those emotional nights, isn't it? With Libby and Grandad and Mum sitting out there, and Gareth tonight to tell us about what's probably got to be the highlight of his whole athletic career.
Well, I don't know. Pinning Usain Bolt's back number on at the Olympics was quite good.
Well, there you go. I think on that note, we'll leave the week. Gareth, thank you for popping in again to see us. It's
thank
been
you.
A great week for New York AC and a great week for New York Sports. We'll see you again.